This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and it is time to drive the show right off of a bridge, because I am tired of the news right now. It's almost Christmas time. I'm mad about the CR, I'm mad about the border, I'm mad about all kinds of things, and I've been nerding out on a particular subject, and we are about to do history. For you new listeners on the show, you should understand I am a history freak. From time to time, it's not all the time, it's not even every week, but once every month, I'd say, I completely sidetrack the show, and I don't talk politics anymore. We'll get some lessons from this, don't get me wrong. But we talk about history, various stories. We've done more things than I could possibly explain. We've done Roman history of World War II and Genghis Khan, and we've done European stuff. We've done South American stuff, conquistadors. We have been all over the map, different periods of time. I love history. I despise how history is taught in American schools today. Not universal at all. There are some wonderful history teachers out there. But for the most part, in fact, I ran into it headlong when I was researching to get myself ready for this. Almost all history now in the textbooks and everything else is taught from an America sucks perspective. It's awful. It's putrid. You can't just get an honest view of it. And I'm about to tell you, again, this is for the new listeners. Everyone who's been listening knows this. I'm not going to pull punches. Sometimes we look good, sometimes we look bad, but we just have an honest accounting of history, and we tell a story. And we learn a bit about ourselves, humanity, different periods of time. So let's do it, shall we? I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you are far, far from home. You wake up with all of your friends. You're all soldiers. It's hot. It's humid. It's been exhausting. But you wake up, and it's time to begin your day with one of the few creature comforts that are still allowed to you because life is still difficult. Food. It is time to eat. So you and all your buddies, you grab your plates, you grab your cups, and you get in a line, and you start walking down to the mess hall where you're about to have breakfast. And as you're walking down to the mess hall, there's a little church there, and the church has bells on it, three bells, big bells. And dong, 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 the bells start going off. This is normal. Happens every morning when you're heading to breakfast at this time. Only as the bells are going off, the church doors fly open. It's you, about 40 of your buddies. You're looking at the church doors flying open, and out of the church doors come 70 to 80 men with machetes and knives, and they're coming to kill all of you and your friends. And you are unarmed. We are going to tell an American / Filipino history story today. We're going to talk about the Philippine-American War today. It's going to be about us. It's going to be about them. It's going to be about traditional armies versus guerrilla armies. It's going to involve torture, death, politicians, all the normal things history normally involves. But let's get all of us, myself included, let's get you prepped on the Philippines first and foremost. First, Philippines. That we're going to go pre-Spain, all right? Philippines, they're important. And they have been important for a long, 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 long time. And it's not necessarily because of the natural resources. Go look at, as again, this is always a good thing to do when you're studying history. Look at a map. Just pull it up on your phone. It really does help. It sounds stupid. I know it does. It's not. Look at a map. It'll tell you things. Look at a map of the Philippines. Look where it is. You see where China is. You got Australia. Japan's up there. It is a supreme location. Right there. It might as well be, as far as oceans go, it might as well be along a superhighway. And if you really zoom in, which you don't need to do that, but if you really zoom in, you're welcome to, you will notice it's not exactly one gigantic landmass, and it's not 4, 5, 6 islands. It's not Hawaii. Philippines is thousands of islands. Thousands of them. That's what the Philippines was and is today. Obviously, the islands are still there. And before the Spanish got there, the Philippines were, and actually after the Spanish, and kind of still are, it was not one homogenous society, one homogenous culture, one homogenous tribe. There were hundreds of different cultures and different tribes there. Hundreds of them, and radically, radically different ones. More peaceful ones, more warlike ones, freaking cannibals, all over the place. We make the mistake, I do it too. We oversimplify everything. Whenever we think of anything, we simplify the people there. When we, China's a good example of this. We talk about the Chinese. Oh, he's Chinese. Do you have any idea how many different cultures and subcultures there are in China? Mao got all the minority ones worked up in a frenzy. That's part of how he did his revolution. Not that that could happen here, but Philippines, we look at everybody over there and they're small and they have Asian features and they're kind of brown and we assume, well, that's Filipino. Oh, look at those. Those people are Filipino. And I realize it's a nation now that may be accurate, but Filipino can mean a lot of different things. Okay, so it's a bunch of different tribes. It was in a very, is in a very, very strategic location. You've heard of Magellan, haven't you? Obviously, everyone's heard of Magellan. Magellan is one of those explorers. He was Portuguese, I should note. But this tends to happen. It certainly happened to Columbus. He wanted to go exploring around the globe. He wanted to figure out a way to sail around the globe. And Portuguese wouldn't help him. So he went to Spain, and Spain did. Spain was big back in the day. Spain was always looking for a new way, new routes, new trade routes, new resources. And Spain said, yes, Mr. Magellan, you can. And Magellan, during his travels, well, towards the end of his travels, hint, hint, finds himself in the Philippines. He's a very brave man. He doesn't make it out alive. Magellan, he makes friends with one of the tribes and decides, as a show of force, he is going to unite with that tribe against another tribe, and they're going to defeat that other tribe. He grossly underestimated things like the coral reefs around the Philippines. You would think Magellan would be better with the boat, but he grossly underestimated some things about the Philippines. Magellan, as brave as he was, he died an ugly death, gets hit with a poison arrow, but doesn't die. He is sick. His men are pulling back. He's in the water, waist-deep water. And the last his men saw of him, Magellan was being surrounded by the enemy tribe he was trying to wipe out, where he was stabbed and beaten to death in the water. Magellan had an ugly, ugly end. And men live to tell the tale. And that turned out to be very bad for the people of the Philippines, because those men who lived to tell the tale, they were part of a Spanish expedition, as I noted, and they went back and told Spain, hey, Magellan got beaten to death in this little place, the Philippines. What do you think about that? And Spain was upset. And really, to be honest, Spain recognized, because all this stuff is just being mapped out, Spain recognized, hey, this place, one, they killed Magellan, two, We should be there. If we took the Philippines, think how easy trade would be with China if we took over the Philippines. Remember when I told you to look at the map? Look at the map. Philippines, China's right there. What if we just took the Philippines? And this was during the colonial era where countries like the Netherlands, Spain, England, France, these countries were sailing around the globe, discovering lands that were occupied by tribal peoples and using their power to conquer said tribal peoples. And Spain took a liking to the Philippines, and in they moved. And our story will continue from there in just a moment. Before we get to that, let's talk about the IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. What do they do? Well, it's not a military organization or anything like that, and they're not helping the government of Israel. They're there for the people of Israel who suffer all the time under constant danger. I am very, very grateful. As dangerous as Houston can be, I'm grateful I don't live in a place where I will need to run to a bomb shelter. But living in Israel, that's part of your life. How's the bomb shelter get there? Doesn't magically get there. The IFCJ builds them. They provide flak jackets. They provide food. They've been building bridges for over 40 years. And they only do this with your help. Help them. Help them. Go to supportifcj.org, or you can give them a call, 888-488-IFCJ. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. If you missed the first hour where I was talking politics, screaming about the CR and stuff, you can go download the show on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you want to email us, you can. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com or leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. But we're not talking about any of that right now. We're doing a little history, Philippine-American War, not something that is very well known. So I just gave you a little bit of background why the Spanish wanted the Philippines to begin with. Filipinos ended up beating Magellan to death. That wasn't ideal. Plus, the place was a good location. The Spanish move in. Now, it's not really a story about Spain and the Philippines, but this will apply to our story. The Spanish, when they moved in, we all talk about colonial powers and colonization, and it's always demonized, but everybody did it differently. There weren't identical types of colonization. Some nations believed in the complete ruthless subjugation of everyone who was there, just enslave everybody, genocide, whatever you want. Some wanted to be as nice about it as they possibly could be while still really moving in. That was honestly, the British really did a lot of that. The British were more prone to move in. I know they did bad things too, but Spain wanted first and foremost to convert everyone to Catholicism. If you've ever been to the Philippines or seen pictures of the Philippines, or maybe you wondered why I opened up this show talking about church bells and how those could get there, Spain brought Catholicism to the Philippines. Now, it wasn't a gentle conversion process by any stretch of the imagination. I don't want to act like they were just all the Apostle Paul walking in there. It was a little rough around the edges, to put it mildly. But Spain wanted to bring Catholicism. And Spain did bring brutality there. Not all the time. They were building roads. They were modernizing the Philippines. But they were also doing things like they would take every man in the Philippines and they would say, hey, for 40 days a year, you belong to us. And for 40 days a year, they would make them slaves, for lack of a better way to put it. And they'd be clearing out roads and building things using the population that was there to build a more Spanish-looking version of the Philippines than it was. The Filipino people are proud, wonderful. I should probably let you know my bias before we continue on. I'm a bit of a fan of Filipinos. I have a few friends that are Filipinos. They are generally tough as nails. They're enjoyable to be around. Just my experience with Filipinos has been really quite wonderful. Yes, Chris, good parties, good food, actually, good food. The chicks are dimes. Right? I like Filipinos. I like Filipinos a lot, so let me put that out there. But they're also tough people, as I mentioned. And they're not going to take something like Spanish subjugation lying down. They begin to fight back. They begin to rebel. They're always rebelling here and rebelling there and rebelling here and rebelling there. Finally, in 1896, this is about to bring us to our story here, the Philippine-American War, there is a huge revolt. And you know, I don't give you a lot of names and dates because details ruin a story, but there is a name. It's one of the few I'm going to give you today that is going to, you're going to need to remember it. His name was Emilio Aguinaldo. Emilio Aguinaldo. Don't worry about memorizing it, but you should know he was one of the Philippine rebels who was going hot and heavy against the Spanish. He was leading a revolt. He is a rich kid. His family lived on a mansion or in a mansion in the Philippines. But look, historically, he is revered in the Philippines. You can find all kinds of alternate histories that question his motivations. I won't do that. I don't know him. Maybe he was the devil. Maybe he was a lion. I don't know. But he was the leader of the revolt. And in 1896, the rebels, the Filipinos, lose. It's not a complete disaster for them, though, however, because Spain found itself in a big problem. By this point, by the late 1800s, the Spanish Empire was coming apart everywhere on the planet. They were having huge problems in Cuba, and that's going to have a huge part in our story. Spain, they didn't have time, energy, the money, or the troops to be dealing with a Filipino revolt. So it ends up with a negotiated peace. Now, the Filipinos are still being subjugated. They're still under the Spanish. They get some reforms out of the deal, though. Life's a little better. Hey, no more slavery, right, guys? But part of the deal was this Emilio Aguinaldo character, he needs to leave. Not put to death, but he needs to leave. So he gets sent away from the Philippines. Now, that brings us to America and how we got involved in this entire thing. The Spanish-American War is talked about. You probably don't know a ton about it. Most people don't. I'm not an expert on it either. I don't want to act like, well, I do and you don't. But it's just not talked about that much. It was fought in Cuba, not in Spain. Cuba was an extremely important hub for us, for our business interests. Spain controlled Cuba. We didn't like how they were controlling things. We end up with one of our ships, the Maine, ends up going down there to monitor things, and the Maine ends up exploding. No one knows who did it to this day. Some say we did it to ourselves. Some say the Spanish did it. Some say the rebels did it on the island. Some say it was a mechanical failure. We don't know. We'll never know, ever, ever, ever. But it was used, the explosion of the Maine was used as a justification for us to go to war against the Spanish in Cuba, and go to war we did. That would be the Spanish-American War. And we will continue our story in just a moment because it takes us right back to the Philippines. Before we do that, maybe you don't like stories about war, conquest, bravery. And if you don't, that's okay. It just means your T levels are too low. And you need to get those levels back up so you can enjoy stories of courage and death. That's what Chalk will do for you. They'll help you enjoy stories about torture. Your T levels can be up 20% in 90 days naturally. Did you know that? Natural herbal supplements from Chalk can change your life. Ladies, they have female vitality stacks for you. They have male vitality stacks for men. I take Chalk Lit Powder every single morning. In fact, Jewish producer Chris is down on that too with his superfood smoothies in the morning. You want to be healthier, have a better year in 2025? Go take advantage of their special. Runs the entire month of December. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We're not talking politics right now. If you just stumbled in, you stumbled into the middle of a history story talking about the Philippine-American War, which we actually haven't quite gotten to yet. It's been a little bit of a lead up. The Spanish-American War just kicked off in Cuba. Uh-oh, that's not good. Well, we ended up kicking the crap out of them. We had to do some heavy fighting over there, no question about it, but in Cuba, that's where it was fought. But remember I said Spain was a big empire, at least at one point in time. And remember they had the Philippines. You know what else they had in the Philippines? Some ships. Some of their navy was in the Philippines. America got concerned. We were concerned that those ships they had in the Philippines would start making their way across the ocean over to Cuba and join the fight against America. And we wanted to make sure that could not happen. So we picked up the telephone, as such as they were back in the day, and we got a hold of Dewey, Admiral Dewey. He was our guy, Admiral Dewey. Don't worry about remembering his name, although he was a legend after this, but Admiral Dewey. We say, hey, Dewey, you've got some ships over there in that area. Would you kindly take your ships and head to the Philippines and destroy or at least contain the Spanish fleet in the Philippines? Dewey says, I am on my way. Dewey and his ships, we take off. We get to the Philippines. Dewey has 9 ships. He comes across 16 Spanish ships. Now, let's just modernize this really quickly here. We've had this talk before about navies, modern navies, and you know how against a bloated defense budget I am and all the waste and things like that. But remember what I've said many, many, many times before. There are two branches. They're the two I make fun of the most, but there are two branches who must always be on the cutting edge. The Navy and the Air Force. The Army, the Marines. Look, you can always find men and train them up to do ground combat. It may take time. I get that. And you're going to need veterans to train them. I get that. You cannot, if a war kicks off tomorrow with China, you cannot just modernize the Navy. It takes too long to design, to build. It takes too long. Same thing with the Air Force. You can't kick off a war with Russia and then find yourself at a disadvantage because you're going to get wiped out of the skies. Wiped out of the skies. It has always been this way when it comes to navies. It's just how that kind of warfare works. If you have the better ships, the superior technology, if you have technologically advanced beyond the enemy, it's not just that you'll win, you will likely dominate. We had 9 ships. They had 16 ships. We sailed in and wiped 10 of their ships off the water. Do you know what we lost? One sailor. Not even one ship. We lost one sailor. We stormed into the Philippines and crushed the Spanish. Now, remember that Filipino who was leading the revolution? Emilio Aguinaldo was his name. Remember how I told you he'd been exiled? He had been removed from the Philippines. We thought we were going to have to fight the Spanish, well, in some sort of a significant fashion in the Philippines as well. So we grabbed Emilio Aguinaldo and we brought him back to the Philippines and said, hey, Emilio, go get all your friends. And let's fight these Spanish together. Emilio gets out on the Philippines. He goes and gets all his rebels, thousands of them, 20, 30,000. You can never get accurate numbers, but it was 20, 30,000 of them. And they march on Manila. Now we had already brought, we were bringing 10,000 troops in ourselves. We brought 10,000 troops over there getting ready to square off against the Spanish. Now, I want you to picture this. There's Manila. You don't have to worry about where it is, although maps always help, as I said. And on the outskirts of Manila, you have the Filipino rebels and you have us, But keep this in mind, we are separate from the Filipino rebels. We are not fighting together. We're on kind of the same side. We are on the same side. We're all there to defeat the Spanish, right? But we are not fighting together. We are not working together. Now, if you're the Filipinos, what are you thinking right now? This is wonderful. We are going to fight this revolution. The Americans are here to help us fight the revolution and finally liberate us from these Spanish who have dominated us forever. If you're an American, you may not be thinking about this the exact same way. We are all around Manila. The Spanish-American war does not go well for Spain. And the Spanish in Manila now have a serious problem. Spanish honor, Spanish pride is a real thing then and now. They did not want to just surrender. They didn't want to be seen as just giving away the Philippines, just giving back Manila. And the Spanish, because of how they had treated the Filipinos during their occupation of the Philippines, the Spanish were understandably concerned about how they would be treated if they turned themselves into the Philippines. So what happens next is controversial, but it is fairly widely accepted that what happened next was a sham battle that was agreed upon between the Spanish and Americans. We, without coordinating with the Filipinos, we attacked the Philippines. We attacked them in their fortress. And there was this loud battle, all kinds of gunfire. Whoa! But really, not many people got hurt. And the Spanish surrendered like 5 minutes after the battle began. They surrendered to the Americans. It's fairly widely accepted today that there was an agreement struck beforehand that the Spanish could kind of fight a half battle and then just turn themselves into the Americans and hand Manila and control the Filipinos over to America. And that's exactly what they did. Now, we Americans have officially marched into Manila. The Spanish have been defeated. Although the treaty's not finalized yet, hang on that. We're going to get to that. That's an important part of the story, the win on that. But we have defeated the Spanish in Manila. The American troops have taken it. It belongs to us. At which point in time, the Filipinos who are parked outside of Manila say, wow, thanks, guys. That was helpful. So when are you leaving? You are going to leave, right? And Americans, we said, no, not right now, we're not. In fact, not only are we not going to leave, you Filipinos are not allowed inside of Manila. Not all Filipinos, remember, the rebel group that was outside, the rebel army, we told them, you are not allowed to come into Manila right now. Manila has been surrendered to us. It is currently under our protection, and we are trying to figure out exactly what we're going to do from here. And this, as you can imagine, did not go over all that well with the Filipinos who thought they were about to be liberated of any colonial powers. Now, let's pause on that because we have to go back home to talk about American politics, American politicians, and how all this stuff is landing there. Before we get to that, let's talk about Pure Talk, because there's nothing more American than that. Pure Talk's amazing. Pure Talk hires Americans. You don't need Verizon. You don't need AT&T. You don't need T-Mobile. The last time my son had to call AT&T for some reason, this is a few years ago, he ended up having to hang up. He couldn't even understand what they were freaking saying on the telephone. When you switch to Pure Talk, it's fast. It's easy. It takes 10 minutes on the phone. It saves you a fortune. They're on the exact same 5G network, so you're not losing any kind of, I can't drop calls. That's not going to happen. And you're supporting a company whose veteran fought for this country. They don't support BLM and Planned Parenthood. They don't do any of that crap. They support veterans, and they hire Americans. That's putting your money where your morals are, what we all need to do. How easy is it? You pick up your cell phone right now, you dial pound 250, and you say, Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250 say Jesse Kelly. More history next.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you want to go back to politics, you got to go back to hour one. You can download the whole thing for free at iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Do not forget to subscribe and leave a review discussing how big my hands are. Back to our story. In case you're just now joining us, we're telling a story about the Philippine-American War, not very well known. We have just defeated the Spanish in what was pretty much a sham battle for Manila in the Philippines. The American army has taken it. The Filipino army of rebels is outside of it. We have banned them from coming into Manila. They thought they were getting it back. We are now holding it. Now let's go back home. This is, if you ever read history, you've heard me lament this a lot about how all these history teachers, all these professors, all these history books, they always present America as being evil, all genocidal, all horrible, all this and that. America's not so simple either. Nothing's simple. Back home in America, Americans were trying to figure out what we should be doing, what's okay, what's not okay in the Philippines. In Cuba, what kind of country did we want to be? We saw ourselves as being better than the English, better than Spanish. We were going to do things the right way. And even there were arguments back and forth. There were all kinds of American politicians. You can go read about the arguments in the Senate at the time. Very divided. There were senators who said, hey, these Filipinos, why don't we help them? Why don't we stay there? Why don't we build schools? Why don't we make the place more modern? Why don't we help them out? And then there were other senators who said, no, that's crazy. That would make us just like the Spanish. We need to be nice. We should leave. We should give it back. It was a huge argument at the time. Now, remember when I told you the treaty had not been signed yet? The war had not officially ended, the Spanish-American War. Well, one night in Manila, it pops off, as it normally does when tensions are high. Filipino soldier approaches the American lines. The stories on what happened next are going to depend on what you read. If you read any Filipino sources, which I read and watched many preparing for this, they will, every one of them, to a man, and they may be accurate, say the guy didn't understand the calls of halt, because the American troops were saying, halt, don't come any closer, halt, 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 stop. And all the Filipino sources say this poor innocent guy didn't understand the calls of halt. If you read some others, and these are very hard to find, these virtually every source tries to make us look like the devil. There are other sources, and in fact, I'm one of these, that has a very hard time believing you need to understand English to know what halt means. A soldier, if you could put me anywhere, you know I only speak three languages, English, Mexican, and some European. So if you were to put me in China, and I was walking towards the lines of soldiers, and they were telling me to stop in Mandarin, I'm not the smartest person, to put it mildly. I'm pretty sure I would understand exactly what they're saying. It's not difficult to figure out when a group of soldiers you're walking towards want you to stop walking towards them. The Filipinos to this day will claim he had no idea. He was out handing out Bibles. I have a hard time believing that. But again, this is majoring on the minor. Whatever happens there, the shooting starts. Now, people are dying. Now, Filipinos are attacking Americans, and Americans are attacking Filipinos. But for the purpose of our treaty, all that American politicians know is, hey, we were just arguing back and forth about what to do with these Filipinos. Now that American troops are dead, now that place is ours. We have no choice. We were at the Treaty of Paris. We were dealing with, it was called the Treaty of Paris, and we were settling this whole thing. And American troops, our guys get word American troops are dying. It sealed the deal for the Philippines. We told the Spanish, we actually bought it from them. We didn't just take it either. We could have. We actually bought it from them. We told the Spanish, we said, hey, we want the Philippines. Can we just give you some money for it too? And the Spanish, who were obviously way done with the place, said, yep, it's all yours. Treaty of Paris is signed. Spanish-American War is over. And now America is in the Philippines. And now momentum is just one of those things, as we've talked about many times before. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to explain. But it's obvious when you see it. Now all the momentum is going towards violence. They are upset, and they are understandably upset. We are upset. We are understandably upset. And the fighting begins. Now, this is something, if you're an American listening to the sound of my voice, you should feel proud of this aspect, even if you don't like this American history story. We're really good at fighting, and we have been since our inception. Americans are good soldiers. We are good. We're just good at it. Why? Because we love guns. Our love of guns and our affinity for guns is ingrained in us. The Second Amendment was put there, you know, over 200 years ago. We have always loved guns. And when you have a culture of people who love guns, then you're naturally going to be better at fighting with guns. Plus, we were more organized, better trained, better equipment, more ammunition. When the fighting begins between us and Emilio Aguinaldo and the Philippine rebels, we are beating the living crap out of them. When they try to square off against us, you know, these kind of large pitch battle type things, and this is a very common tale throughout American history. You square off against Americans, you better be ready to rumble. Even, Vietnam didn't end well for us. We hardly ever lost a battle in Vietnam. Whenever there was a battle, we beat the crap out of everybody. You don't want it. You want to trade guns? You want to trade bullets? You don't want to do it with Americans. Okay, so we start beating the Filipinos. We are running into a couple different issues, though. One, the heat is a huge problem. Again, it's the tropics. Two, America was not at all totally unified behind this war. It wasn't just the politicians. There were a lot of Americans who were very uncomfortable watching an American army conquer a foreign land. For a lot of Americans, it looked like we were becoming the people we supposedly hated. Remember, we earned our country by rebelling against the colonial power. We didn't want to be that. We'll talk a little bit about that more, and then some dirty stuff in a moment before we get to that. Let's talk about your pain. The pain that nags at you, that holds you back from doing the things you love. What is the pain that holds you back from going on that walk, from playing handball, from golfing? What is the pain that makes you dread going to work? Ah, man, I got to swing a hammer all day and my elbow just kills me. Have you tried Relief Factor? All I'm asking is that you try it. They sell 3 weeks of it, 3-week quick start kits for $19.95. It's natural. Stop ignoring the pain. Stop masking it. Your body's already trying to fight that inflammation. It just needs a little boost. Relief Factor might just take the pain away. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to relieffactor.com. Almost everybody orders more. Why do you think that is? You might be 3 weeks away from being free. 1-800-4-RELIEF. More war and torture next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.